everybody, and welcome to episode 13 of Screen Champs. I'm your host, Dubs, here with my co-host, the Madman Moon.
What's going on, brother?
What's happening, man? I'm kind of amped up right now because I know we're going to do our challenge mid-season recap. If you guys don't know, we watch the challenge pretty much every week before we do the episode. That's just kind of the tradition. We record on Wednesdays, challenges on Wednesdays, and I'm just hyped to do the recap.
Yeah, it's fun recapping anything. I think because then you look back at what has happened so far. This is a half-season recap, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we're more than halfway through the season. Usually at some point, like, you know, there's a big purge. I'm not sure if they've announced how many episodes there's going to be, but either way, we're 9 episodes in. I feel like most seasons are actually, I don't know, most seasons are around 15, so I think.
Yeah, let's just say that.
I don't even know, actually. Either way.
This is half.
It feels about halfway through. So mid-season.
It might be like a sibling, you get to have half my sandwich, but your half is obviously less than mine.
Yeah.
But that's design.
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah. You kind of like cut it in half and then you look at the smaller one and that's the one you hand off. I mean, that's just how splitting things works.
That's like human nature, yeah. Or that's survival of the fittest, or evolution, maybe.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, if you're the one with the sandwich, you're the one making the sacrifice, you might as well get the bigger piece. I mean, that makes sense. That makes sense to me.
Usually, I'm the one that, like, you know what? I'll give you the big one. You get the big slice. I'll get the little one.
This is
but like then so I've gotten fatter over the years, and it's kind of like, hey, like, I kind of needed more than you. I might just die if I have the little one. Come on. Like, I got to live. Because I'm bigger, I need more.
So what survival is that of?
Of the fattest.
Fair enough. You know what I'm saying? I like it. This will just start off here with the people that have left the show thus far. Quite a bit of rookies and some vets as well. So Jay, fan favorite, he's out. But the way TJ told him goodbye, you know he's coming back. Ashley has lost elimination twice, so she's gone. Damn. Tori's gone because she couldn't knock her damn balls over. Nelson's out because Fessy's the worst person on earth.
Yeah.
Wes is out because, well, apparently he wanted to see Devin win. I don't know about all that. I think he's kind of a little old. Nothing makes me more sad than seeing Wes get eliminated. He's probably my favorite player. He's such a cocky asshole, and I love watching him. I hated seeing him go. And Joseph is out, and who, thank goodness, you know, Kyle manhandled him, a little pole wrestle. That needed to happen. And then we have,
like, Kyle.
Yeah. I'm sneaky strong. That was my best Kyle impression. It seems like I think like a bunch of girls like broke their arms or something. Nicole, Liv. Oh, Natalie actually had a miscarriage. That's very sad. But she was pregnant when she got there. So she found out she was pregnant, went home, had a miscarriage a little bit later. That's why she left the show. And Leo just quit. For mental health reasons. Yeah. And I will mental say health. This, you know, when you're watching the show, you want them to like go at each other. You want just insanity from them. And you want them to attack each other. Like Devin, I feel like, is really good at getting in people's heads, for instance. So when Leo quit and he's like, yeah, I just feel like it's not a good place for me. You're kind of like, well, what did you expect? This is a challenge. Ah. But and TJ has responded to people like that in the past. Kind of like, oh, I feel like this isn't for me. He's like, well, then what'd you sign up for? If you're a quitter, go home. But 2021, TJ, he was like, you know what? Your mental health is the most important thing. Go take care of yourself first. You know, the challenge will always be here. I thought that was kind of cool. A very mature challenge move. Oh, very indicative of our times. But yeah, Leo, he quit. He also, I mean, let's be honest, wasn't about to win any of these eliminations or dailies. But that's neither here nor there.
He was ready to fight. He was ready. It's like, I've wrestled. He's a wrestler. He's like, I've wrestled people bigger than you.
Yeah, he did go.
Who did he say that's that a show,
to?
Though.
Did he say that to Fessy?
Yeah, I think he said that to Fessy.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. I mean, he might say that to someone
else. Yeah, or CT or one of those guys.
Yeah, either way, he's like 6 feet shorter than anyone else on that in that show. But so I think we're just going to kind of go through and talk about some, you know, we have a couple categories here. Who's been most impressive? Who's been least impressive? Best fight, things like that. So we're going to start with the most impressive guy, girl. We were going to talk team, but the way they switch so much, you never know. And I feel like it's Cam and Leroy, man. They are killing it. There's a couple seasons ago where we had Kara and Paulie as a couple running War of the Worlds 2. They were they were the ringleaders, and they got themselves to the final, and then Paulie, like, died in the final, and that's a whole other thing.
Weak.
Yeah, weak indeed. And then everyone just talked shit to him. But Cam and Leroy, these guys are savages in the game. Your thoughts. Your thoughts, Madman.
Well, I mean, Leroy is my dog. Like, he is someone that when he cried after losing and just not being – and he's been in the game a long time. Mm-hmm. And this man cried. This is a strong – big man over here just crying because he lost. He was a loser. He's got the biggest chip on his shoulder. He has said this is his last season.
Yeah, no matter what.
For him to be playing the way that he's playing right now, it's so dope to see. It's so dope to root for. I get so excited watching him and just watching him handle the way he handled Jay. Oof, it like cemented that he is a real deal, you know.
Yep.
A lot of people look at Fessy as he is the next coming of a competitor. He's the next CT. He's the next Johnny Bananas. Everyone's eyeing Fessy. He's the one. Leroy is gonna give him a run for his money, man. I'm excited for that. I'm kind of slandering Fessy too. I don't think he is a true winner here. I'm super excited for Leroy and Cam. Plot twist: they're together. They're handling it, and they're not on the same team, which is nuts. Like, strategy. They're just taking control of this game. It's fun to see when the Wesses are gone, the Johnny Bananas are gone. CT's still there, but this is an older CT. It's just good seeing kind of one of the older guys, Leroy, holding his own and absolutely manhandling this whole competition.
I mean, like you said, Leroy, what he did to Jay and the elimination, where, like, Jay has had success in some of these challenges. I mean, most notably, his first season, CT went in against him to get a gold skull. Jay beat him. You know, Jay just beat him. One of the things we know about Jay is he's a rock climber. So when you see this contraption, which we've seen already with an elimination where Ashley lost the first time, and they just have to throw their bodies across, well, you're thinking Jay's going to kill this. And Leroy, like a bat out of hell, bro. I've never seen anything like it.
it was
the craziest thing I've ever seen. I was just blown away. And Cam, she's running things. I'm not necessarily a huge fan of her social game, but the bottom line is everyone's scared of her and they're doing what she wants. She's the biggest girl there and she's taking care of business. Least impressive guy girl this far. Well, it's, I put Michi and he got eliminated this episode, so there's that. But I think Amber M and Michi are both just boring. There's nothing going on with them. I think actually a lot of the rookies that were, like Joseph, him leaving, he was really boring too. Leo, he might have done something sometime, but he was kind of boring. A lot of the rookies kind of suck this season. I think besides Nam and Lolo, I don't really – oh, and Natalie. Natalie's a beast. But besides that, I don't see much that I like in the rookie class.
Mechie, I was like – yeah, it's funny how he was. We agreed he was like the least impressive, and then boom, he like gets eliminated on today's episode. And I'm like, well, this makes sense. I mean, he was like the least impressive kind of guy there. And when the episode starts off, and they're like, now you really have to pay attention to like who can you beat. And he's like, oh yeah, like I have to. I guess I have to. I was kind of just going along with it. I'm like, what are you talking about, man? Like, what do you mean you were just figuring it out? Amber, I just don't even know enough to like criticize on her. I just think she's kind of quiet and
just kind of blah,
kind of whatever. And hasn't maybe, made a maybe splash that has yet. To do with
editing too and being a new person. If someone's been there longer and they're more interesting, they're just going to focus more attention on them. So that makes sense. But
make it interesting. That's why I liked when Leo Rush was just yelling. Was like, I'll take any of y'all. I've manhandled people. Like, who is this little guy just yelling? Like, make it interesting. Do some, like, stir some stuff up. Maybe get really drunk. And then it's, you're just a good 5-minute part of that episode because you're just wasted and yelling at people.
next we got the best fight. So this kind of, there's two fights, two prominent fights. There's this one and then the one where Fessy and Josh both like tried to kill Devin. And so a lot of the same people are all involved in this, but this is where I think the best fight so far. CT starts getting in an argument with Casey. Josh tries to walk away and be the bigger man. And instead of walking away, goes immediately to CT to start drama. CT flexes on Josh immediately and says, bro, you're like, this is none of your business. Just get out of my face. And then somehow it turns into Devin versus Josh and Devin just talking shit to the point where Devin is just yelling out math problems to Josh and Josh is just screaming and punching walls. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, what's 8 times 9? Josh, what's 8 times 9? And it's funny because Josh just gets increasingly more upset. The best part is I don't think he knows what 8 times 9 is. And that's so funny. It just.
Yeah, dude.
Devin's on full troll mode. And he sits there and he's like, I'm going to stir up some shit. Let's go. And then he just does it. And it's wonderful.
I love it. Yeah. Shout out to Devin. He's honestly like a sneaky, most impressive guy because he has said, he's like, look, I'm a layup. I know that. At least I own it. Let me stir it up. Let me get crazy. Let me just talk some shit. And then he apologizes when they have their little voting meeting. He's like, hey, we got a little out of control last night. It's unfair to you guys. I apologize. Yeah. You want to send me in? Send me in. Whatever. I don't care. And he has a gold skull, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, got it from Wes.
Shout out to just stirring the pot, bro. Just stirring the pot. Did he show his ass in a recent fight? Did he just put his pants down?
That was when Fessy and Josh were pushing everyone. And he definitely flashed Fessy. Luckily, Fessy wasn't paying attention. because Fessy would have lost his mind. But he definitely flashed him, which was great.
What is going on with Devin, man?
He's just having fun. He's just a goofy guy. Anyway, the biggest snake move of the season, I feel like, has to be Fessy going against Nelson just because it was a hall brawl elimination.
So annoying.
I mean, if you guys know anything about Fessy, Nelson, Corey, these guys are supposed to be close. You know, they're kind of the new TYB, Team Young Buck, since they don't seem to want to bring Hunter back for whatever reason. Corey, Nelson, they got Fessy in their corner. Fessy sees a hall brawl and just sees red. This is like episode 4. He had plenty of weeks to physically dominate someone. He's the cockiest bastard in this show. And does he have a right to be? Sure, he's gigantic. He's like 6'5", he's built, he's physical. Yeah, why take out your friend? It just seems crazy. It looks like an insecure play to me. The guy who's confident as hell is scared to go against, he has to do a hall brawl, so he's going to take out his friend? Clown, bitch.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Hell yeah. Especially because he had opportunities to have won some physical challenges in the he won back to back in the beginning.
Yo,
yeah. He sees hall brawl, sees red. I hate it so much because he's like, they designed this for me because I was a NFL prospect tight end. I was like, shut up. No, you weren't. You weren't that great. I seen your stats, buddy. I looked them up. You're not that great. That was the dirtiest thing I ever seen. Shout out to Corey for really going into him after that happened. Mm. You know, the next episode, you see them go in. He's just going in on him. Shout out to that. That's a friend that you need. Poor Nelson. He honestly didn't stand a chance either, too. Like, it was a tough play. He was in a disadvantage, and I think he was a little bit more hurt.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, so now the last category we have here is please don't ever do this again. Let me just paint a picture for like the craziest thing they did. So the challenge, they seem to love this like double decker trailer thing that they have. They just have this thing. And they use it for 1,000 different competitions. They have people hanging around. And essentially what they did is they put some nets on the side. And you just had to brawl and wrestle on top of this moving truck just driving through the desert. You're not on a harness. People are like, what if we fall off? And DJ's like, oh, then it's roadkill. You know, people are just going to die on the challenge. Like, what? The craziest thing. And so they're just wrestling with no harnesses. One of the people broke their arm. That's why they're not on the show because of this. Someone else like dislocated their shoulder. It was the whole thing. And then 2 challenges later or so, they're just flying drones in a cave. And one person's like navigating with a VR headset and the other one's just flying a drone. I can't watch something like that again. Not only did everyone suck at it, and everyone just failed. It's the most boring TV I've ever seen.
It was whack. Yeah. I think one person got it, and it was Devin and Tori.
Yeah. They were just talking shit to each other the whole time.
Yeah. It was weird. Like, what did you think was going to happen? They were all going to win? Like, there's no way in hell you thought everyone was going to win.
Yeah.
There's no way in hell.
No.
They're in a cave. It's dark. It's difficult, too. I've never even flown a drone.
No. I don't know how to fly a drone. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, that's probably one of the most forgettable little challenge things. I don't know. Just give me more double decker bus. Yeah. I'm a big fan of it. Yeah. I asked you that question. I was like, bro, what if they fall off? Like, yeah, roadkill, brother. I'm like, what? If I over jump, I'm dead. And what's going to happen? Like, yeah. I hope I get a million.
Just throw them off the edge, you know? Yeah. They're not going to give you a million.
I know. Win by any cost, brother. Win by any cost.
Going to get a plane ticket home, and that's it, bro. They won't care at all. It's so sad.
But overall, I mean, super, super fun season so far. I'm having a lot of fun watching it. Dubs, are you loving it?
I think it's a great season. I am enjoying it more than I enjoyed Total Madness, which was the previous season. I do kind of miss the messiness. I understand it's COVID right now, so they have to go somewhere remote. I like that the challenges are hard, but can we get these people in a tropical environment again? Like, I want to see some people just get real messy, like drunk and messy with each other. And
like Brad or something. Like just
controlled drunk. I need some Brad energy. I need like old CT energy. Like, there's a clip where CT's just yelling at Wes for hours, like literally hours, telling him he's going to kill him. I need something like that, you know? Yeah. Right now, people yell and then everyone separates them. And so some of the older cats are bringing this energy. These new guys, they're just sitting around scared. Like, I need someone to start some shit. So I am really enjoying the season. I love it as a competition show. I think I still prefer it as like a messy reality / competition show. So give me that messy reality stuff too. That being said, show's badass. I think everyone should watch it. I think the worst challenge season is better than a lot of other TV shows. So it's always entertaining. Ooh. And the episodes are an hour and a half long. You can't beat that. Like, who else is doing that on TV? Like,
perfect runtime.
Perfect. If you guys aren't watching the challenge, well, then that was probably really fucking boring. But you should be watching it.
Check binge it out.
Yeah, binge
catch
it.
Catch up.
MTV, find out a way to watch it. Grab it on Amazon Prime. Buy the season. Whatever. Do something. It's fun. So now hopping into our quick hits, our little quick hit. We got those Golden Globes announced their nominees today.
Hell.
And I can't think of anything I've been like less impressed with than like some of the nominations here. So we're not going to go over everything because we'll save that for the Academy Awards. One of the things first is that, you know, we've done 13 episodes. We've reviewed about 15 or so movies. One of the movies that neither one of us were huge fans of was Mank. And that leads the Golden Globes with 6 nominations. So you already know it's boring as hell. But we look at our best motion pictures. They break it up into drama and then comedy / music. For the drama section, we got The Father, Mank, Nomadland, Promising Young Woman, Trial of the Chicago 7. Just out of those, like, what are your thoughts when you see that?
I think it's a lot of kissing Hollywood's butt.
All right.
Kissing Hollywood's butt with that one.
Yeah.
I'm not super impressed with that list. I am super impressed that Promising Young Woman's on there and Trial of Chicago 7.
Yeah.
The other three.
Well, so admittedly, I've not seen Nomadland or The Father, and I do want to see both those movies, so there's that.
I also haven't seen those movies, maybe that's why I'm not giving them the time or day.
Fair enough, fair enough. And I've heard good things about both of those movies, specifically The Father. I've heard that Anthony Hopkins is, like, impeccable in it, just an acting clinic. And Nomadland, I've just heard, is a very interesting but good movie, but, like, low-key kind of boring. It's just, where's the sound of metal? Where's the sound of metal?
I know, dude. That's why if Nomad Land was gone and Sound of Metal was in, I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, I get it. But the disrespect to Sound of Metal,
it's hard to see.
It and plus other movies, but specifically Sound of Metal, because that was my number one.
Yeah.
I think it should have been a lot of people's number ones.
It was mine as well.
It's weird, right? How is it not on there?
Who came up
with this list?
No idea. But I'm assuming some esteemed voters, right? So the other thing that they've been getting a lot of flack for, and I think rightfully so, is there's been quite a few movies that revolve around a large group of black people that don't seem to make this list. Judas and the Black Messiah is one that a lot of people thought was going to be making a big amount of noise,
right?
Even though we haven't seen it yet, but it's supposed to be good. It's not here represented here, at least in the best picture. Neither is Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Neither is Defy Bloods with Spike Lee. I'm kind of surprised to see that, you know, and you know, some of it, you think the world kind of influences it and just the way 2020 went, the Black Lives Matter movement, and not to say that these movies, any movie deserves a free ride, but these are really well done movies. I mean, I didn't see Five Bloods yet, but these are movies that people thought were going to be up here, you know, and well done, and they're just not getting that fair shake. So it's hard to say, but it's a little rough.
Dubs, it's Black History Month. You know what I'm saying?
It is February.
How do you goof up that bad?
Yeah, right?
You goofed up Hollywood. And again, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Show some love for Chadwick Boseman at least. Like,
well, so he did.
His movies were great.
He did. Chadwick Boseman got nominated. Viola Davis got nominated. Like, some of them individually got nominated for certain things, but you know, it's surprising to not see any of the movies here as like to be represented.
Shake SMH. Shaking my head.
And then the comedy music thing was kind of funny because so we have Borat 2, which is solid. Hamilton, which is not a movie, just a play they filmed. Palm Springs, which was on both our top tens, and I think a very strong movie. I think it's this category. If this isn't between like Borat 2 and Palm Springs, that's insane. And then The Prom, which was like a Netflix musical that I haven't seen, but you know, I heard nothing but terrible things. And then there's a movie called Music, and I was like, what the hell is this movie called Music? And so I look it up, and it's some movie written and directed by Sia. It's not out yet, but it's got like 24% on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, I don't know what's going on with this, but it just seems crazy. I don't know what's happening right now. I just don't know what's happening. I don't get it.
It's weird. Why should it just never be released? And that's the movie. That's the idea of it.
It's God.
Performance art, brother.
Performance art.
That's what it is.
Did you ever see
You music? Know what's annoying, too? Because there's ways where they, you know, it's comedy music. Don't find a way to explain why Sound of Metal is in it. Like, just give me that.
Yeah.
You know?
Music.
Sound of Metal. Oh, yeah. It's in comedy and music. Why? Oh, he's a drummer.
There you
music,
go.
Music, right? They're like, yeah, that's true. Okay, yeah. So we're going to put it. It's not going to be Best Motion Picture Drama, but we'll make it work for comedy music. Or even Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. They're recording a song.
Music.
That's music, right?
Yeah.
Music.
Yep.
The Five Bloods. I think there's music in that movie.
Someone walks by a radio at one point. Sure.
Music, bro. That's what it is. They have a score, I'm sure. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I
think it's interesting that Hamilton is here at all because it doesn't seem like something that traditionally would be looked at as a motion picture music event. Like, it's just not. It's a play. Or just even, you know, King of Staten Island. Throw that up there. Why not? But yeah, so that's the Golden Globes. We may talk about some other categories in the coming weeks. They're having the events on the 28th, but, you know, there's going to be no one in person. So we'll see how it goes. All right, so that transitions us right now into kind of an interesting story. Variety has apologized for a review on the movie Promising Young Woman. This is a movie that came out on Christmas in theaters. We record this podcast in California, which means we were not able to watch this movie. And when we made our our top 10 of 2020 movie list, this movie was not available to us. We've since both watched it. It's a definite recommend from both of us, and I do... Oh, yeah. I think we've both said that there's a good chance this would have made each of our top 10 lists had we have seen it before the end of the year. Unfortunately, that was just not the case. This was a review written almost about a year ago when Promising Young Woman came out on the festival circuit. And this was the part of the review that kind of caused some waves. This was the quote that was used, and it's starring Carey Mulligan. Mulligan, a fine actress, seems a bit of an odd choice as this admittedly mini-layered apparent femme fatale who spends her weekends pretending to be fall-down drunk to see if men will prey on her. Margot Robbie is a producer here, and one can, perhaps too easily, imagine the role might have once been intended for her. Whereas with this star, Cassie wears her pickup bait gear like bad drag, even her long blonde hair feels like a put-on. So he's saying she's not hot enough to play this character, essentially.
Wow.
That's it.
Yeah. Which is crazy because it's like, I wasn't looking at her looks. She acted the hell out of this movie. She did a great job. Like, what is hot? Like, I don't understand. Carey Mulligan's hot. Like, I think she's hot. Like, she's great. I thought she did a great job. I don't know. She was kind of a different character. That was cool. I mean, it was awesome. This is a wild, wild review. What this guy's saying.
Well, yeah, it's a wild take. It's a weird take because it's weird that they felt that it was appropriate to say. You know, it just seems like a totally inappropriate thing, especially with the content of the movie. It's a very woman power movie to come in there and just be like, yeah, I know it's this thing about this, you know, women luring men, but. Do we really believe she can lure men? It's like, yeah, bro.
Guys will lure you. They'll bring you in. It looks like in this movie, they're just, do you bet I can hook up with her? No, you can't, you dog. Oh, watch me do it. And then Adam Brody takes her home. It's weird. It's like, I don't understand.
So Carey Mulligan was asked about this article a couple times, once by Zendaya, and she kind of talked about the fact that, like, you know, it kind of sucked to read that. It didn't necessarily hurt my ego, but it's just like, damn, like, is this an appropriate way to critique my performance? Like, saying I'm, like, not good looking enough? Like, you know, like you said, right. She acted the hell out of it. And never mind the fact that it doesn't matter whether she's hot or not necessarily, but she looks fine. You know, it's not, I watched the movie, I didn't once think, like, she can't pull this off. Like, it never crossed my mind at all. You know, so
yeah.
It's just such a wild thing to say. The author kind of clapped back and was like, oh, isn't it funny how I wrote this 11 months ago, but now that it's finally being released in the Oscar campaign, everyone seems to have a problem with it. And it's like, bro, how much can you miss the point? And then he came out and said, like, I'm a 60-year-old gay man. I don't actually go around dwelling on the comparative hotness of young actresses, let alone writing about that.
Oh, really? But you did. You did write about it. You did compare Margot Robbie with Carey Mulligan.
Yeah.
Even though you say you didn't, you kind of did, buddy.
Kind of did. 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Just own it.
Own it.
Say I was wrong. Own it. Or say, hey, I was wrong. I'm an asshole. I think Margot Robbie's hot and I want to see her in everything.
Yeah, or something, right?
So it's cool. What I do like is that they haven't edited the article, so we can still just go back and read how crazy it is he said that. But they did leave an apology at the top of it, just saying, we apologize for how much of a dick this guy is. And so he's offended by it. It is what it is. And here we are.
Well, that's good. That's good. And they have to do that. I mean, it's nominated and stuff. It's getting nominated. It's gonna get nominated. And unfortunately, this is hovering over it. So you have to step in and you have to issue that apology or do whatever. You would think this guy, though, even with his responses, would have been humbled and be like, hey, you know what? I'm sorry.
Yeah, or something.
He's like, no, hey, I'm only a 60-year-old gay man. You think I'm really dwelling over making, like, you did.
Yeah. It's like, hey, bud. Hey, buddy. You did it, though. You did it. Next, we're hopping into the Justice League. The Snyder Cut is finally coming out on March 18th. Finally, man.
No, it's radical. Holy cow.
This is, evidence that if you complain about something on the internet long enough, someone will do something about it. So, just so everyone knows, if you don't know, Justice League was initially directed by Zack Snyder, who also did Man of Steel. They filmed it while in the editing process. His daughter, his daughter passed away. And so, he went to go tend to his family matters, and they brought Joss Whedon of Avengers fame to come in and edit the movie, as is the case with every DC Warner Brothers comic book movie. Everyone hated it. No one liked Justice League. And people started, there started becoming a movement about, like, let's blame Joss Whedon for this. Because Zack Snyder wasn't going to give us this movie. This is Joss Whedon's movie. They're not the same person. What would Snyder have done? Snyder would have made a better movie. And now we're gonna find out. We're going to find out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they put, like, I think, like, $2 million into finding out if...
$2 million? This cost $70 million.
$70 million?
Yes.
Yikes. Man, I was giving the benefit of the doubt that it was, like, $2 million. Maybe it was, like, $2 million per scene.
Yeah, I don't know. This is... they've done... So it's going to be rated R. I think that's the biggest difference here. You know, everyone wants, rated R for violence and language. They're going to bring Leto's Joker from Suicide Squad, but like the kind of like the homeless version, right? Or what's up with that?
Yeah, well, I think they're just stripping away of the comic book cartoony Joker that freaking they did in Suicide Squad.
Okay.
And so I think they removed the tattoos. They made his hair longer and greedier, I guess, or something. I think they probably got rid of the grills, too. Yeah, he had some grills.
He did have grills.
Like, he went to the dentist and just got rid of them.
Oh my gosh, David Ayer just, you know, he ruined Shia, go out there killing dogs and whatnot. And, oh my.
David Ayer's fascination with vatos and gangsters is weird. It's out like, it's like he saw like a bad Lifetime movie with a gangster in it, and he was like, yeah, that's a gangster.
Yep.
And props to Zack Snyder just eliminating all that. I like it, but I don't know.
The best part about it is that he sent out a tweet with the picture of the Joker and like tagged David Ayer and was like, you know, so proud of what you created. Can't wait to collaborate. And it's like, bro, you're changing everything about the character he created. You know, what do you mean? You know? But it's just kind of funny because Zack Snyder is in his own little world. I feel like there's people that are going to think nothing can go wrong with this. This is, look, the original Snyder cut that he did before he went to go tend to his family was 2 hours and 20 minutes long. The movie that they're going to be putting out is 4 hours long. At first, it was going to be a little mini series. Now it's just going to be a 4 hour long movie. They did reshoots for this. He said they only did 4 or 5 minutes worth of reshoots in the whole 4 hours. So the rest of it is still old content. But they did bring everyone back. Henry Cavill, Ben Affleck, everyone came back. I just feel like it's not going to be better. It's just going to be darker. That's it.
Here's the thing, too, though. Yeah, it is going to be darker. It is because they showed side-by-side comparisons of certain scenes of freaking Whedon and Snyder. And every Snyder one, it just looked darker.
Yeah.
It looked like everyone had a little bit more facial hair.
Okay.
And everyone looked a little bit more dirtier for some reason. Yeah. That's just how Snyder likes it. And so you're going to see that. You're going to see a lot of that. Also, there's belief that he's just making it up as it goes. He's just coming up. He's just making it because it's like, oh, it's going to be a mini series. It's going to be like 4 episodes. And it's like, well, the plot twist is not going to be like 4 episodes. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's going to be a 4 hour long movie. And then it's, you know, and the Joker's in it, and he's doing a scene. It's like, oh, like, how integral is that in the movie? It's going to be, you're going to see it. It's going to play out well. It's going to play out nice. Ben Affleck is back in it. And Henry Cavill's back in it. Mm-hmm. And we're going to spend $70 freaking million in making it. Maybe it was $2 million in the beginning and then it just kept adding up. And the next thing you know, it's going to be like $100 million production, for a movie that already came out like 2-3 years ago.
And not only that, a movie people didn't like, you know, that's the best part. This isn't like an extended cut. It's like, we know you love Justice League. Well, we have more for you. It's like, we know you hated Justice League. We've only done 4 minutes of reshoots, but everything's going to look darker, and hopefully it's just better now. Like, I just don't buy it. I just don't buy it. Now, editing definitely matters. Editing definitely matters. Just, I mean, we're going to talk about little things in a little bit. Editing matters because the movie was screwed when it comes to editing. But, like, making this an R-rated movie, it was fine. I'm all about R-rated movies. But this isn't a hard R because it's a PG-13 movie. When he made it, he was making a PG-13 movie. Now it's an R movie. Okay. Like, what? It just feels, like you said, like he's making it up as he goes along. It feels not real. Like, he's just kind of like, oh, yeah, maybe we'll do this. Maybe this. Like, it's, whatever.
The only reason why it's rated R is because Ben Affleck was like, if I'm coming back, I want to say fuck a couple times because I'm Batman. And there Batman. You go. Yeah, I'm greedy. I'm going to say fuck a few times. And that's an article I read.
Oh, nice. I did see that. He's like, Batman even drops an F-bomb. And I'm like, okay, well, cool. I guess, you know, like.
It's Ben Affleck. He added it in his recontract. When we got him back, he wanted to do it. Yeah. All right, whatever, I guess. Let's put it on HBO Max. Let's hope everyone watches this week or something.
Yeah, it's just going to be. I just can't imagine it's any better than Justice League was. And 4 hours is a long time. That's longer than Titanic. And Titanic's a long-ass movie. And even Titanic has two distinct parts, so it almost feels like two movies. It's like, oh, it's this love story, and Leo, he's so damn charming. I could watch this guy all day. And then, boom, a ship's falling apart. This is insane. How it interesting turns into a
disaster movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is Justice League going to do? It's 4 hours long. What's going on, man? Now, I don't know anything about it. I know people care But it's just I mean we're gonna watch it. We're definitely gonna review it whenever week it comes out.
Like, we're gonna review the shit out of that.
Yeah, that's gonna be our review. But the only hope I have, what I really hope comes from this movie, is that Ben Affleck becomes a little happier. So I feel like Ben Affleck in Justice League was kind of the beginning of the end of like Ben Affleck's like public happiness. Ever since that movie came out, he was going to be in a Batman movie. He was going to direct it. He was going to like write and direct it. And he just decided to like stop. It was kind of like for months, it was like, oh, well, he's going to do this. And then he just seems sad all the time. And I like Ben Affleck. I think he's great. But Batman made him sad. So I hope he comes back. I hope that I'm wrong and people love it and that it changes everything. And that because of that, Ben Affleck will be happy again. That's my hope for this movie.
I'm down for happy Ben Affleck. He just keeps becoming a sad meme. Did you see the picture where he like dropped his Dunkin' Donuts like in his coffees? he's like looking just shaggy as just sad.
Poor guy. So.
And then after he drops, he looks up. People are taking pictures of him, paparazzi, TMZ. He's like, bro, I just want to sulk. Let me sulk.
Poor guy. Oh. All right, let's save Batfleck. That's a hashtag save Batfleck, Justice League.
There you go.
Okay, let's go. Next piece of news here, we have something that will probably be better than the Justice League Snyder Cut. Zach Braff and Gabrielle Union are going to star as the parents in a Cheaper by the Dozen film coming out on Disney Plus in 2022. This movie is co-written by Kenya Barris, who is the creator of Blackish and Black AF. I am excited to see Zach Braff be in a movie that's not like brooding and depressing, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's kind of like his thing. But I met him in Scrubs. So when I met him, he was like a goofy guy, introspective for sure. He was in touch with his feelings, but he was goofy, fun loving. But when you put this guy in a movie, he's the saddest, most serious, dark, depressed person I've ever seen. Cheaper by the Dozen will not allow that. It's going to be fun. No. I need fun Zach Braff for a little bit.
I'm down. Yeah, he needs to be doing some stuff. His girlfriend, Florence Pugh, she's taking over the world. He needs to be in something. He needs to be in something because she's going to just outgrow him. And we don't need that. We need him to be happy.
Oh, yeah.
We want our actors to be happy.
Zach Braff specifically. Anyone that was in Scrubs, we want to be happy.
He needs to be happier. And this is going to be a happy movie. I liked Cheaper by the Dozen. Did you like that movie? Did you see that one?
No, I don't. I'm not going to. Like this.
What?
I don't care about this because it's going to be. I didn't like it. It's cool because it's going to be like a multiracial family and stuff like that. So like in the sense that representation matters, like it's important. It's important that movies like this get made. I truly believe that. That being said, this is a kid's movie about a bunch of kids. I could care less about anything on Disney Plus unless it's like a Taylor Swift movie. So I think the last one came out, I think like Ashton Kutcher was in it, right? Like was he one of Steve
Martin's kids? No, I think it was Steve Martin. Oh, was he one of the – no, it wasn't him. It was
like someone
– no, it was the guy from Smallville. He was the oldest son.
Ashton Kutcher was not in that movie?
No, it was the guy in Smallville. I think he was the oldest son. I don't think Ashton Kutcher was in it. If he was in it, my mind's blown.
So it looks like he was dating the oldest daughter of Steve Martin.
Wow.
So there you go, Ashton Kutcher. See, I remember that. I do remember Ashton Kutcher. Steve Martin's, you know, great actor. But it's cool. But I, you know, I will watch this. I'm just kidding. I'll watch this for Zach Braff because I do like Zach Braff. And like I said, I do want to see like the goofy side of him kind of having fun and things like that. I think it's important for me to see. You're a big Cheaper by the Dozen fan?
Man, Hilary Duff, Tom Welling, Allison Stoner, my girl from Missy Elliott music videos.
Okay.
I might just have to rewatch this one.
There you go.
This is crazy. And Gabrielle Union, I loved her ever since Bring It On. But to be honest, bro, that's probably the only thing I really liked her in.
Oh, what about Bad Boys 2? Her and Mike Lowry. Martin Lawrence's sister. Oof. Nah. All right. Bad Boys 2 is a cinematic masterpiece, brother. Masterpiece.
I'm in the wrong. I think when everyone was watching that, I was watching Cheaper by the Dozen or something.
Oof. Oh. It's all right. It's all right. Just watch Bad Boys 2 instead. God, this movie's so good. And that movie's like 2.5 hours long. That's when Michael Bay is like at his best, though. It's just... there's car accidents for no reason, you know. It's just like a background shot. Like it's just
everyone's shooting. I do remember all the shooting. There was a lot of shooting.
Oh, a ton of shooting. He like shoots the guy through the peephole or whatever. He's like, the devil is not welcome here. Like, it's great. It's great. Oh, man.
Michael Bay is a lunatic, man. He's a
lunatic. There's a scene.
He should direct Cheaper by the Dozen.
All the kids just start shooting each other in the house.
Yeah, I know. They're all assassins or something.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
But it's all Nerf guns. But it's like, it's exciting, though. Like, he'll make it exciting.
There's like lens flares everywhere and stuff. Just explosions. I'm down for that. I'm super down.
Let's go. Cheaper by the Dozen. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And next, we have not fun news. So rest in peace for Dustin Diamond, dead at 44 because of cancer. So, Screech from Saved by the Bell. I think the craziest part about all this, and this is just kind of a testament to how important it is to, like, you know, get yourself checked out, is he was hospitalized on January 12th. Like, that's when he felt like, I can't go on anymore. I need to go to the hospital. And he passed away February 1st. So he found out he had cancer on the 12th and died by the end of the month. So it was stage four. It was in his lungs. Go to the doctor if you don't feel well. Get checked out, because this shit could happen quick.
R.I.P.
And next here we have Elizabeth Olsen. It kind of dropped a note that she's really excited for fans to see a major WandaVision cameo. And then the interviewer was like, oh, is it on par with when Luke Skywalker came out in The Mandalorian? And she said, it is. So now people are losing their minds. Man, what are your thoughts on this?
I want to know who it is. That's what I want to know.
Me too.
There's a lot of names that are trending. And one of them is Stan Lee. And then it's Magneto. Thanos. I read something saying it's going to be Thanos. It's going to be Josh Brolin as Thanos.
Yeah. So essentially people have no idea who it's going to be. No idea, bro. Which is cool. You know, but the craziest ones that I read were, one was to have Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, even though he said he was done playing the character. The other one that I thought was wild was Tom Cruise as Iron Man. And there was talk about, like, what? Yeah, it's just, people are just saying anything right now. They're just like, oh, Tom Cruise is Iron Man. Because I guess Tom Cruise has always wanted to be a part of Marvel, and this is like Scientology dream. So, you know, the Thetans are figuring it out for him right now. He is trying to be a part of everything. And they talked, I guess there was talk about him playing an alternate universe Iron Man in like the Multiverse of Madness. That's just something I read somewhere.
That makes a little sense, yeah.
So they're like, what if this is our introduction to the Tom Cruise Iron Man? And I was like, well, that's just, I mean, I'm here for Tom Cruise, even though he's the weirdest, craziest person, is probably a bad human being. I love the guy. And yeah.
Oh, damn, yeah. He was like fan casted as Iron Man when they're like, oh, if they made the Avengers in the 90s, here are the people that will play them.
Okay.
Avengers was done like in the 90s.
Yeah.
But that's out of control. That's crazy. Just watch that big old butt on screen. That'd be nuts.
That big old donk that Tom Cruise is walking around with.
That thumper. Yeah. He's got that freaking big old butt. That's the cameo, the butt.
That's the cameo. Yeah, that's Tom Cruise. And we already know who it is right when he walks in. It's like, man, he can't even fit through the door. Like, you got a wagon on him, that Tom Cruise. Got a wagon. But, you know, I think the coolest thing, though, just about WandaVision is that if you guys have seen the last episode, which now when our episode comes out, we'll be one episode late. But the WandaVision episode 4 kind of just pulled back the veil on a ton of stuff. I mean, I'll get your thoughts on it. I think the biggest thing for me in that episode, and if you guys haven't seen it, I mean, please watch it, you know, immediately. It's so good. It's so interesting. There's a part where a beekeeper shows up. We see in episode 4, he goes through the sewers and still crosses through the little force field that the WandaVision town has, and that the chain that was on him breaks off, and they pull it back up. But when they pull it up, it's like a jump rope, which is what it was. Like, that's what it created when he went into that world. And same when Gwendolyn, or whatever her name is, gets sent out, she's wearing the same clothes that she was wearing in the Wanda world. So it's showing that when things happen in the WandaVision world, they're still true in the real world, which means that Vision...
I get what you're getting at.
Vision, who's dead, in theory, can leave the Wanda bubble into the real world and just exist. Never mind the fact that Vision's not a real person, human being anyway. That's huge.
That's crazy. Mind blown. That's right, because of the jump rope.
Because there was a lot of speculation about her kids. Would her kids be able to, like, well, they're just a figment of her imagination in her weird little sitcom. But in theory, those kids can be taken out of this world, too. So
yeah. And those kids will be old. They'll be older. So then it's tight. Like, in the Marvel Universe, they're already going to be old. They're not going to be, like, little babies.
So I can't wait. It's going to be 9 episodes long. We've already seen 4. And I can't wait for the next ones. I've been excited for shows before. I'm just as excited as ever to watch these shows. Next, we're going to hop into our review for The Little Things. This is a highly anticipated movie for me and the Madman here. It's starring Denzel Washington, Rami Malek, Jared Leto. Have you heard of them? Can you hear them walking in? They got all these Academy Awards in their pocket.
Ding, 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 ding.
So with all these heavy hit...
ding, 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 ding. That's their awards. Just hit
yeah. So with all these heavy hitters, I can't wait to hear the critics score. They hit us with a 48%. Yikes.
Damn.
And the audience score is 64%. This movie's 2 hours and 7 minutes long. Written and directed by John Lee Hancock, who has directed The Founder, Saving Mr. Banks, and The Blind Side. He also wrote Snow White and the Huntsman, Never Forget. The synopsis here is that Deputy Sheriff Joe Deacon, played by Denzel Washington, joins forces with Sergeant Jim Baxter to search for a serial killer who's terrorizing Los Angeles. As they track the culprit, Baxter is unaware that the investigation is dredging up echoes of Deke's past, uncovering disturbing secrets that could threaten more than his case. Madman, your thoughts? The Little Things.
Oh man. When you talk about a disappointment,
ooh,
it hurts so much because I re-listened to our episode and you said, all you read is bad stuff, but I hope that's not the case. And we were all so happy and excited. Yeah, it was a little slow. It was a little confusing. It was a little like, eh. But I was still smiling. I was still like, okay, all right. Okay, And then the reality was it was just boring. Okay. And it's like the pacing of it. The pacing of this movie, the editing just freaking killed it. It felt so like weird. It felt so different. It felt like, I don't know, man. It felt like someone was given a movie. So we got Denzel, we got Rami, and we got Jared Leto. You're going to be good. Just, if anything, lean on that. Mm-hmm. And then that's just all it was. It was just like you're just leaning on their performances and hoping that they're knocking out the park. Like, Denzel's character, I didn't really believe him. Like, there was some moments where I feel like that was uncalled for. Like, his character didn't need to do that. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Rami Malek's character, where this guy is tough. Hot shot. And then it's like, oh, okay, well. And everyone's like, hey, don't work with Denzel because he'll consume you. Or, he's kind of a little new. He just does things his own way.
Yeah.
And then he's like, okay, for sure. I'm still going to work with him. Yeah, and then
spend all my time with him.
And then like Jared Leto, it's like where I think he got definitely a lot of hate, which I kind of enjoyed him probably more than anyone in the movie.
Yeah. I think that The Little Things is a really good bad movie. And there's a lot of bad movies that I would not recommend watching. I still feel like people should throw this on. I think that there's something that Denzel Washington just does when he's on screen. I don't know if it's goodwill that he's just built up, but in my mind, he can do no wrong. That doesn't mean he can save every movie, and he definitely didn't save this movie, but I loved when he was on screen. I just loved every moment. Now, some of the moments, like you said, really weird. It doesn't seem to fit the character. There's a lot of things. The way the movie ended, and some of the character motivations that led there, I felt like these moments were not earned at all. That being said, I was still invested the whole time it was on. And then by the end, I was like, ah, damn it. All right, whatever. Okay, you got me. You got my time. And now it's done. Now, you said Jared Leto's getting a lot of hate. I personally have not seen that hate, which is why I'm almost scared to say this out loud, but I did not enjoy Jared Leto in this movie. And Rami Malek, I feel the same way about him I did before. He did not do anything great, nor did he change my... It's just kind of like he's Rami Malek, whatever. I thought Jared Leto was kind of weird, and I know he was supposed to be weird, but I've seen so many things praising his performance, saying it was the best thing in the movie. I thought it was kind of awkward, and it just, it really felt like acting in a weird way, and
yeah,
like it just didn't feel real, and I didn't buy into it. I don't know.
Let me tell you this here then, okay? Because I read something where I was so upset. They said that it's almost like Jared Leto is doing a very bad Jim Carrey impersonation as Jim Carrey, like impersonating, like, or doing a character on SNL. Just a, he's just doing it so bad. Jared Leto, I think he had a prosthetic nose in this movie. Mm-hmm. He had a noticeable limp in the movie. He had like a weird gut that, like, for mm-hmm. a skinny weird guy to just have. And so there is a little modifications, I guess, in him and in his speech too. And that's where the bad impersonation of Jim Carrey comes from, because of the speech, I guess, the way he talked, they thought it was a little bit more funnier than it was creepy. And so I was kind of pissed off reading that, but it made sense. And I kind of chuckled a little bit. And then people were like, see, why they had Rami. Why couldn't he just play the weird guy? And Jared Leto could have played Rami's character.
Oh, I could see that being a positive thing. I think Rami Malek looks like a creepy little bastard, and he could play that role. He is weird. He could play. I think he could play that role believably. And see, the thing about this movie is it's set. It's a 90s movie. It looks like a movie that was made in the 90s. It was written in 1993. It feels like an ode to these, you know, L.A. Confidential, Seven, movies like that, that fall into that time frame. So when I think about those movies, I just think about the bad guy, and it's just not, it's not whatever Jared Leto was doing. It's just not.
Yeah.
His voice was kind of weird to me. So I swear I've heard nothing but good things. So I would love to see that article just because I'd feel so validated, because I was scared to say out loud. I felt like I was the only person on earth that didn't like Jared Leto. Jared Leto also did get nominated for a Golden Globe for his performance in this movie.
Yeah, he did.
Like, in the title of this movie, you can't do this. You can't have a movie called The Little Things, because every journalist and every reviewer thinks they're the fucking smartest person on earth when they write their little reviews. I've rolled my eyes more than I ever have reading reviews about, like, the little things didn't add up in this thriller. Oh, they just missed the little things. The little things takes down an otherwise good movie. It's like, oh my gosh, come on. I hate it so much.
Do you think it's a little ironic that throughout the movie, Denzel keeps saying, yeah, I see. It's the little things that get you caught. And he keeps saying that.
Well, and that's annoying, too.
And the little things are the things that did make this movie get caught into being a bad film. That's my journalist take on it. That's my headline right there.
Yeah, well, there you did what I despise.
I did it.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't. I don't know. There's a thousand things about this that don't work. The ending, which we're not going to talk about, I feel like is, I would say overall, it's kind of unsatisfying. Like, some things happen.
I think so. Almost kind of like fast-tracked. Like the third act felt so kind of fast-tracked. Like, let's just wrap this up. Dude, I like the first act. Like, I thought it was all right. I thought it was okay. I like how it starts, too, with the music, the old school music and the homegirls in the car. Like, I like the cat and mouse with, you know, Denzel and Jared Leto's character, like, in the second act. Like, I like them trying to figure out who this guy is. And it sucks comparing it to, like, Seven and, like, L.A. Confidential, because those movies are great. And this movie was not that.
I will say that I did watch the movie with someone. And they actually said they liked it. They thought it was good, and they really enjoyed the ending. So there you go. Maybe we're movie snobs.
I was talking to my sister, and I was like, hey, I binged all these movies. And she's like, did you watch The Little Things? I was like, yeah, it sucked. And she was like, sucked? What? You're the movie guy. It sucked? No, it didn't. And I'm like, it did. Like, what are you talking about? It was bad.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, no. And then that thing, obviously, I'm like, oh, no. It was completely bad. It just, you know, it's the third act. It's the little things. And I kind of hated myself a little bit, because I'm like, man, am I just snobby? But I'm like, no, it's justified when I look at the audience score and I look at the Rotten Tomatoes score. I'm like, okay, this makes sense.
How do we want to rate this movie in honor of Jared Leto? How about we rate this by just the appliance mechanics?
Oh, okay. Yes.
In honor of the first time you see Jared Leto creepily look through the little curtain. So here, you go first this time. You go first this time.
I'll go first. I think you're going to get mad at me for sure. 100%. Right. I'm going to give it a solid 65 appliances. Solid 65.
65? Okay. So that's, pretty similar to where I was going to go. I was going to give it a solid 60, just kind of right there. Yeah. I don't think it's any worse than that. I wish I could go back and re-rate Mank and just give it like a 0 to set a new bar, but I give it a 50. It is what it is. But I'm going to rate the little things 60 appliance mechanics out of 100 because of Denzel Washington. Because it held my interest the whole time. And because the ending is so abrupt, that third act just happens very fast. Everything leading up to it, you know, it's still like a whodunit. You know, what's going on? And you're engaged. Yeah. You just want to find out what's going on. And you're willing to put the work in with the characters to find out. Even though it's kind of weird and Jared Leto's annoying, I still think it's worth a watch. And again, you know, it sounds like we both talked to people right after we watched it who enjoyed the movie. So, going 60 appliance mechanics out of 100. You know, in the end, you know, the little things really weren't there. So that's what we got.
Yes.
All right. That looks like it's going to wrap up our episode tonight. So we will catch you guys next week. Thank you for listening. Oh, yeah. Follow us on Instagram at ScreenChamps. Send us emails at ScreenChampsPod@gmail.com. And we are unveiling a Twitter. So we're going to have a Twitter, which is also at ScreenChamps. I cannot believe that no one has the Twitter handle, ScreenChamps, because Twitter's been out for so long. It seems like everything is taken. But the Madman is going to be running our Twitter. Check it out if you guys are Twitter people. It's going to be fun. At ScreenChamps on Twitter.
Hell yeah.
Peace. Hey, guys, that sounded great. Can we get everyone to reset? All right. Take 2.